to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Thinking about some things, you know, that people don't write off. Is this a tax write-off, Maddie? When someone passes away, they die, they get a plot of land, okay, because they've bought a burial plot. How come that's not tax deductible?
Well, they're not going to pay any taxes anyway. They're dead.
Well, no, for the family, you know, because I would per se purchase a plot for my family member. I don't understand why that wouldn't be tax deductible.
The criteria is that all sorts of income are always taxable unless there's an exemption. And then all kinds of expenses are not deductible unless there's a specific code section. So income and expenses are exactly the opposite. If you have expenses, there has to be a code section that they're allowed for in order to be deductible and how they're deductible. If they're income, you automatically assume that it is taxable income unless there is a code section that says it's not. So they're just exactly opposite. And a burial plot is not a business expense.
Well, but it's a life expense. It seemed like it should be deductible on a line item somewhere on your tax form.
I would like to deduct a lot of things that I can't deduct, okay? I've got dogs. I would love to deduct my hairy friends as dependents, but they don't let me do that either. And you gotta have gas and utilities, and the challenge is not what is the rate of tax that is in place. The question is, what are the valid deductions that are available in order for me to take advantage of those tax codes, okay? And so that's why you need someone. I mean, we spend hours upon hours of understanding tax law as it applies. And then every year they pass new stuff and you have to understand what the new stuff applies to. And so you need someone who knows the answers to those questions in your corner if you're in business. You're a W-2 employee, it's simple, it's easy, okay? You don't have to go through a lot of hoops. Right. But when you're in business or you have rental property, then you've got to understand the rules and you've got to know someone that can help you maximize your deductions.
And there she is, Brains. That's Maddie Brown. Browning?
Brown.
I thought it was Brown. She is from Iowa, Brains, and she is the founder of Smashing Numbers. She's a brilliant CPA, and she is going to go over a lot of critical information that we need ongoing, but this is tax season. I should say every season is tax season, and we are going to talk about taxation with representation. We're going to talk a little bit about nonprofit organizations, just a smidgen on what C corporations are, how to keep good records, the liabilities that you could be in, and also the buzz. You've got these political individuals that are pushing very hard to remove student loan debt. But once they take it away as a loan, it now becomes taxable income. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that. I want to welcome her to the Edge. We did an amazing interview and had a little technical snafus, but that's not going to get in our way of getting the message out. Is that right, Maddie?
Absolutely.
All right, so we're going to get down and dirty. First thing I want to know is, how in the world did you start in the world of accounting, Smashing Numbers? Because that's been a male-dominated field for so many, decades.
Yeah, I passed the CPA exam in 1981 and went to work for one of what was then known as one of the Big Eight accounting firms. And it was a very male-dominated world. And in all respects, now most CPAs are in their 50s to 60s, and they're men as a majority. Women are still underrepresented in owning their own firms and being in business for themselves. And I started out working for someone else and worked in public accounting the first time for 12 years. I worked at the Iowa Department of Revenue for 19 years. And in 2010, I bought my own business. I took early retirement. I walked away from a full pension. I bought a business and I said, I am going to do this the way I think a CPA firm should be run. And my heart goes out to small business owners that are trying to make a living and trying to have the lives that they dream of. And when I help them, I feel like I'm making my contribution to society and to the culture and to the bottom line of their businesses. I started out as a Spanish major. And I decided that I couldn't make as much money as a Spanish teacher as I could if I were an accountant. And so I decided I'd be an accountant, and I like money. I like to spend money. I tend to be a spender. I love to plan and think about. One of the things I say all the time is money loves attention. And so you need to pay attention to it. You have a relationship with your money. And how do you treat it? How do you treat your money? Right. What do you do with it? And if you don't treat it with respect and consideration, then you're probably going to find that you run into a little bit of a lack scenario. You don't have enough.
You know, my mother is really funny. She's always said, if you treat your money good, it'll be good to you. She wants her bills aligned. She don't want them crinkled. She want all the heads going the same way. She has been that way. It's so nicely organized in her wallet. And my mother has always had some money. She has never been broke. The challenge that people are going to face now is, you know, there was a lot of trickery. And I hit my brains on the trickery. In the tax laws in 2020, you know, the old administration changed some tax laws. People are not used to a standard deduction versus itemizing in a business. They're commingling their money, you know, their little hustle that they have, their side hustle. They're not doing that. They're going through PayPal thinking that's a slush fund, and they're not keeping good records. Can you speak to some of those things, please, Maddie?
Well, I think the first thing I'd like to say is that when people talk about paying too much in taxes, generally the problem is they're not taking the maximum advantage of what is available. And there's all kinds of reasons that that happens, but people like Donald Trump are going to maximize the deductions that they take because those are what are qualified, what are allowed to be had. And if you don't take all of the deductions that are allowed to be had by you, then that's bad on you, okay? And you need to understand the rules. Now, in 2020, understanding the rules was a disaster because it changed every day and it changed on interpretation. And interpretation is a large part of how income tax works because there's court cases that support this and that and the other. But the best thing you can do if you're in business is to have good records. I see people all the time that come in March to get their tax return done and they don't have good records and they're leaving money on the table that they don't need to leave on the table. And that is one of my biggest frustrations is I want people to understand that those accounting records are for you. The government might someday come and look at them, but the purpose of those accounting records is to inform you about the profitability of your business, how much money you're making, where you're spending your money. They call them books. They're a story. Mm-hmm. It is a storybook. The books tell you what is happening in your business. And when I look at those books, I can tell an awful lot about someone and what their priorities are and what's important to them.
And so if they're looking the books and only paying $750 on millions of dollars, you know, but again, like I said, you've got to know the tricks of the trade. You've got to have people to really, you know, be able to slice and dice. And you see so many celebrities, you know, I know many celebrities that have had to take up collection at the time of their death because they said, oh, well, it was my accountant and they stole this and they stole that. Brains, business 101, sign your own checks, okay? Reconcile your own checks. Sit down with your CPA and say, look, I'll pay you for an hour, 2 hours, but tell me what each line item is so when I go and review this to make sure that this is right. You got to have checks and balances. Just because you turn it over to your accountant, it's not the accountant's responsibility. It's their responsibility to document it, to record it, and to send it off to the IRS. It's not to cook it and trick it and try to figure out where to deviate. You should have been having that conversation all year long. Would you agree?
I would agree. We work with many businesses either on a quarterly or a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. And we do what we call a business review. And we look at their income and expenses and we look at their goals and we look at what they want to have happen. And then we compare it to what actually happened because the books are history. And they tell the story of what actually happened. And then you can make informed decisions about how to do business next month. Too many people in business for themselves don't do anything until March or April. And it's too late. By that point in time, it is too late to do anything different. You can't change what happened last year. But you can change what happens in the second quarter of 2021. And that's what you need to be focusing on. You need to understand the past. You need to plan for the future. And you need to manage the present. You don't want to spend all your time in the past and you don't want to spend all your time in the future. You want to be present to what is going on now and manage it and make sure that it's taking you closer to your goals.
Right. And I tell you, Brains, you know, there's a lot of people that have side hustles. And that's great. But a side hustle is not a bona fide business. You got to have a license. You have to pay taxes or you need to have a federal tax ID number. So there's a lot of things that you really need to take into consideration. Don't think that it's a slush fund because it's a point and a click. And things like PayPal and Venmo and Cash App, they have an obligation. That's how they got their license, to report back to the federal government at a certain dollar amount. And that dollar amount could be anything. They could change that at any given time. So know that. I want to talk a little bit about, you said record keeping. People don't keep good records. One thing that they don't do and that you emphasized and highlighted is how much money you can get off of mileage. Just mileage.
Well, mileage is a really good example because most people don't have written mileage records, which are required by the IRS. And the reality is, every 100 miles you drive, you get a $50 tax deduction based on the mileage. And out of that $50, that's going to save you probably 20% in taxes. So every 100 miles you drive actually saves you $10 in tax. So if you drive 1,000 miles, that's $100. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to leave it laying on the table. You don't want it left to chance. You want to have accurate records that you can document and you can support. And you want to make sure that you're covering the documentation requirements for that. Now, I recommend that you put all your receipts in cloud storage, take a picture of them, upload them to Dropbox or iCloud or some other form of cloud storage and record them as you go and never have to look at them again unless the IRS calls you, in which case you'll print out the receipts that you need. So you can really simplify your life by having an accurate method to capture them as you go, because it only takes a minute or two to record things if you do it as you go. If you sit down and wait and have to do the whole year, it's a pain in the butt. Yes, I agree.
And but, it's not accurate. It's not accurate because, like you said, and I had to go out and buy one of those machines after we talked. They fade. You know, the information fades, and you can't go into the IRS with no faded receipts talking about, oh, well, I spent $1,000 on XYZ. And they're like, yeah, right. Well, I can't see it. You know, and the proof is in the storybook. There's a lot of deductions that have been, again, consolidated with a standard deduction for businesses versus a lot of itemizing. So Brains, don't try to do the trickery and say, oh, you know, I spent $15,000 on travel, because the IRS knows that in 2020, you was on lockdown, you didn't travel nowhere. So well, that's going to stand out.
Business deductions are still allowed on a detailed basis.
Okay.
Personal deductions are what we call itemized deductions. A married couple gets $24,000 worth of standard deduction. And if your real estate taxes and insurance, your real estate taxes and your interest and your charitable contributions are more than the standard deduction, then you can take them. But most people, they're putting into a pocket that they don't need to itemize because the standard deduction is more than those other deductions would have been. But the bottom line is we have to keep track of two sets of rules in order to know which is which.
Right. And if you have a business, you've got to, you know, again, it's not a slush fund. You don't commingle the money. Let's talk a little bit about what's been going on in 2020. All these people got these stimulus checks and they just as happy. There wasn't a whole lot we could do with it in California. We're not ungrateful, but that, you know, that wasn't a lot of money. So I want to talk a little bit about unemployment insurance. Everyone's excited about this extra $600 that they're getting. Brains is taxable income, right, Maddie?
Absolutely. There's a lot of very surprised people that received that extra $600 a week and they're surprised to find that it goes on their tax return as taxable income. And there wasn't any withholding taken out of it, so it is not paid for. And you're going to end up paying tax on it, depending on what your rate is.
Did you hear that, Brains? You're gonna end up paying for it. Let's talk about something else. Again, all these political individuals are rallying around forgiving the debt of college students. Okay, so now when you transfer that from being a loan to a gift, is that taxable income as well?
Well, I really make it my motto to not project anything that they might do in the future.
Okay.
Because I do not have a crystal ball, and in 2020, nothing I would have predicted would have come true. Mm. So I don't know if they will do that or not. And I would assume that when they write the legislation, they will have to create a specific section that says that it is not taxable, or we would assume it is taxable. Cancellation of indebtedness. If you have a credit card that you get from 10,000 written down to 3,000, you get $7,000 written off. That $7,000 is income.
Wow. Really?
Yes. And so cancellation of indebtedness is taxable income unless there is a code section that exempts it. And so when you look at the student loan forgiveness, we need to know whether it's going to be tax deductible or not be tax deductible, taxable or not taxable. And I don't know the answer to that question.
Right.
And I'm not sure anyone does.
But I want people to know that it's, you know, it's a transfer. It is once you are in debt and now it has been considered a gift. Just something to think about, to toss around in your brain. Let's talk a little bit about nonprofit organizations. You know, me, I'm not a nonprofit. I've worked for the world's greatest nonprofits organizations, but I understand what that is because you're responsible to the donors, you're responsible to the recipients, you're responsible still to the IRS. It's not a place where you don't pay any taxes. You know, churches, for example, now they're really looking into them and these mega churches to have them pay taxes. because they collect a lot of revenue. Tell us a little bit about nonprofit organizations and, you know, tax liabilities that they could incur or be responsible for.
Nonprofit organizations are organizations that the IRS has awarded a 501c exemption to. You have to apply for the exemption, you have to qualify for the exemption, you have to file a tax return every year that shows that your income and expenses went in pursuit of your charitable business. If you have unrelated income, that unrelated income is subject to income tax. So a nonprofit tax return is one of the more complicated returns that we actually have to file, because we've got to account for other charitable activity and we've got to account for their non-charitable activity. And the reality is, it's a misnomer to say nonprofit, because even a nonprofit must have profitability in order to continue. Right. If they don't bring in enough money to cover their expenses, then they are not going to continue to exist. And so profit is not a four-letter word. Profit is something that every nonprofit organization has to look for, and then they have to account for how they spend that money. And it is challenging, because people think that there's no taxes involved in a nonprofit, and that's really not accurate. And it depends immensely on the record keeping that is kept by that organization.
Well, you know, and again, it's all about record keeping, because there is a paper trail. Once you use any form of check or online service, it's definitely it. So another thing that I don't do is I don't choose to send my taxes in until I've been able to edit and filter them and keep, again, my CPA and accountant accountable and aware in the loop. You know, you go to some of these fast tax services and you run across an individual that's taken a 3-month course and now they are a subject matter expert. Girl, they know everything about everything. You know, you have property in different states. You're a resident in a different state. You know, you've got both parents are trying to claim the child on their income tax and get a letter saying that, you know, you're going to be penalized because both of you can't do that. The divorce decree didn't say that. So if you are prepared and do your taxes early, if you can, you know, it's March. I'm taking mine to my CPA. That gives me 30 days to wobble back and forth and get it right. Because January came pretty quick. We didn't have to file our taxes till July of last year. And so April 15th is going to be here. You are not afforded that luxury. Tell me a little bit about, I know you don't work for the IRS, but can you tell me a little bit about compound interest? You know, I got a friend right now that didn't listen to me, didn't pay her taxes, and now she has been audited and a nervous wreck. She had to go out, hire a CPA to rework it and scrub her books. And now she's going to be subject to penalties and interest and for not filing it properly and filing it on time. Can you tell me a little bit about those penalties? Because people don't understand that.
Well, I'd like to explain it in a little different way. Okay. And yes, there are penalties. And yes, you have to be aware that there are penalties, and interest compounds on it on a monthly basis. And what that means is, if you've got a $1,000 balance and you've got $50 worth of interest in a month, that means the next month you've got $1,050 that is subject to the 5% interest. And the month after that, you've got $1,100 that is subject to the amount. And so it builds. And one of the best ways that you can take care of yourself, there's a thing called a health savings account. And you can put in $3,500 or $7,000 if you're married. And if you put that money in a health savings account, it earns interest and it earns dividends. and you can take it out and spend it on medical related costs. Or you can let it sit there and accumulate. And when you let it sit there and accumulate, then you earn interest and dividends on that investment. Oh, and that grows.
I didn't know that you earned interest and dividends on that. I thought yes. You had to use it within that 12-month period.
The HSA, you do not have to use. It carries forward. It's one of the best ways. You've got to have a high deductible health insurance policy, which is not a problem for most people. And if you put that $7,000 in every year for the next 10 years, and you earn, you reinvest all your interest and dividends, and when you take it out for a medical purpose, it's not taxable. So you never, ever pay any tax on an HSA. You get a deductible when you put the $7,000 in, and when you take it out for a medical purpose, then you do not pay tax on it. It's one of the sweetest things that the average household needs to be doing in order to save on taxes.
But you know, that $7,000 is the difference between paying a mortgage and doing that. And there's a lot of people that are on the, you know, affordable healthcare plan. You know, they don't have that option. There's a lot of people, small businesses that have lost their business now because of COVID that they will never recover. Are there deductions that some of these small businesses can take because of what's happened during the pandemic?
Well, it's actually better than that, because there's been what they call PPP loans, Paycheck Protection Plans, and there's been EIDL loans, Economic Disaster Loans. There's been all kinds of funds available that small businesses can apply for. And the PPP loans, if they're under $150,000, are subject to a very simple forgiveness policy. You don't ever have to pay it back, and it's not taxable income, and you still get to deduct the expenses. Now, those loans are still in place, and you can apply for them. You do so through your bank. And if you were in business for yourself as a farmer or as a sole proprietor, you are qualified for those PPP loans. And so it's important to get a hold of someone that can help you maximize your benefit from it. Mm-hmm. But there has been a lot of money thrown at it by the government.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Because I'm glad they're throwing something back instead of take. So Maddie, what would you say to a small business owner that's struggling right now, that's trying to save their business? What would you say that should be some of the first things that they should look at when they're, you know, trying to cut the bottom line?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I think. I think that there's a certain limit to how much you can cut in expenses and still be in business. What there isn't a limit on is how much money you can make.
Oh. All right now.
And so if you take advantage of the opportunity that is in front of you, then you have the possibility of making more money. Many of my clients did better in 2020 than they've done in previous years, because they shifted gears. They took a new direction. They looked at what their options were. I've got a pet food store that went to mobile deliveries. Their online business went through the roof, and they delivered dog food, and they actually made more money in 2020 than they had made in 2019.
Wow.
And they're a pet food store. Now, it would have been really easy to close the door and say, well, we're done. We can't take care of this. But the reality is you always have a choice. The choice is for you to do something. I know People aren't going to like what I'm about to say.
That's but all I know, say it.
I know that if you're not working, you don't want a job. Because you may have criteria that says, I don't want to work at McDonald's, or I don't want to work as a assistant at Walmart, but it's not enough money for my education. It's not enough money for me. And the reality is, it's always a choice to do one of those things.
Right.
We have an awful lot of people that made the choice to stay on unemployment because of the extra unemployment money. And there were people making more money drawing unemployment than they did when they were called back to their jobs and they didn't want to go back to their jobs.
That's right.
So I see signs all over the place that they're hiring.
Right.
You may not want to do what they're hiring people to do, but there is a job.
Well, and it's that lazy entitlement mindset, you know, and I have an issue with that. Cause I work my ass off. Me and Mr. Magnificent. Okay. And I pay my taxes and I don't like paying the amount that I have to pay, but I live in the best country in the world and I have traveled the world. So if I am able to pay my taxes, I'm going to pay my fair share. California taxes, that's going to roll into somebody else that needs it, that really needs it. I don't have a problem with that. But when you get in that mindset of you feel that you're entitled, and you're going to sit there and wait for it to be electronically transferred, or you're going to get medical and you have not worked, you know, nowhere, and you feel that you and your entire family is entitled, I'm pissed off.
Okay? Somebody pays for it.
Somebody pays for it, you know, and it's off the back of me, because right now, if something happened to me and my husband, I couldn't go get government assistance. They would make me sell everything I had to get my medical bills paid. Okay. But again, for people that need it, I don't have a problem giving a handout or a hand up. I really don't. Okay. I feel that I'm blessed that I'm able to do that. But when people get that tick in their head that, you know, oh, okay, you know, I'm coming up off this $600. Well, believe me, when you get that tax liability and then you're not able to pay it, and then there's a lien on this, and then they go to run your credit when you do go to get a job and find that, oh, wow, this person lacks integrity because they owe the state of California because they've got XYZ. Brain, see, that's how it works. Believe me, you are not coming up. There is a paper trail. There is a book. There is a story. Right, Maddie?
Well, people say that death and taxes are the only two things that are certain.
That's right.
And I like to point out Elvis, okay? Because no one believes Elvis is dead, right? Okay? And so death is not certain, mm-hmm. and taxes are not certain. We have a voluntary system. You voluntarily file your returns, pay your taxes every year. Now, the problem comes about when people don't voluntarily do that. And I talk to a lot of people that are behind, and they're ashamed, and they're embarrassed, and they're afraid of the IRS. And the reality is, when you get a letter from the IRS, the first thing you need to do is open it and read it.
That's right.
And see what it says, because it may be something very simple. Okay. And they're just people doing their job, and they are overworked and they are overwhelmed and they can't keep up. And I saw a note somewhere, I don't remember where it was, that said that they were still processing returns from July of 2020. Mm-hmm. So they're doing the best they can under adverse circumstances, and they're just doing their jobs. So the key is that you do your part, make sure you keep the records that you need to keep and document it, and then don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's what I said. You gotta get in your feelings, brains. You gotta feel the fear and do it anyway. And if you don't open it, it's not going to go away. You know, they might even be telling you that you're going to get a refund. You know, but learn to read the documents. Learn to read the, you know, what you're entitled to. And listen, don't get so excited off a little $600, $1,200. Okay. And yes, I can, you know, I can talk crap, but that's chump change. In reality, when it comes to the liability or what you could be subjected to in the future, and working is good for you. It's good for your heart. It's good for your soul. You know, it makes you feel like a productive part of society instead of just laying up there like lunch meat, a big old piece of bologna.
Well,
so yeah, you got to do it. So is there anything that you'd like to close with and leave us some encouragement and definitely your contact information, because you are the business, literally.
Well, thank you. I would encourage anyone who has a small business to go to my website and download the 25 tips, because that gives 25 key things that you need to have in your foundations for your business. There's also a 30-minute webinar that you can download and play on demand. And I offer a consultation. So you can go to my website and you can take a look around. There's information there to use and learn. And it's smashingnumbers.com. Smashingnumbers.com.
And all of the information is going to be at the bottom and at the end of the video as well.
Okay.
And you know what else, Maddie, there's one thing that I wanted to say is that, you know, this is something that everybody needs to know. Anybody that's ever had a job, don't try to do some of the things I've seen people do. I've seen people go in, because I'm from, you know, I'm from the ghetto. I have no problem with that. I'm proud of that. And I talked to my people and they went in and they've created all of this trickery and they've gotten this unemployment that they're not entitled to. Well, in Los Angeles, they're knocking on some folks' doors. They want that money back. Using other people's social security numbers, using your kids' social security numbers, you know, it's really not worth it. Honesty is the best policy. And you won't be broke forever. It's a cycle. You know, if you do right, right is going to come back to you. Would you agree, Maddie?
I would agree. Whatever you focus on grows.
That's right.
So if you focus on being a victim and not take responsibility for your choices, mm-hmm. everything is a choice. Every single thing is a choice. I tell my employees, they'll come and they say, can we go home at 3 o'clock today? And I say, well, you can do anything you want to do. The question is, am I going to pay you to do it? Okay. You don't have to come to work.
That's right.
If you don't come to work, I'm not going to pay you, but you don't have to come to work. I can't make you come to work.
That's right. That's right. And it's a choice and it's an option. Just like being here on the edge. Thank you so much, Maddie Brown. You are the business. Yay. Keep us informed as to what's going on regularly and often, you know, because the tax codes are changing as quick as we change our hair. And you don't know what's going on, and we're scared, and we're afraid that we're not going to do the right thing. But hire somebody, and be sure, brains, that they sign it. That's another thing that I've heard, that some of these tax preparers are not signing the document. So now when you go to the IRS, you can't say, oh, I didn't know. Learn how to read the documents, because ignorance is 9/10 of the law. Okay. Thank you so much, Maddie Brown from Smashing Numbers, being here on the edge. Brains, go back. Listen to other heavy conversations. We got some good stuff. I'm telling you that I have 37 interviews that I'm preparing for right now. And these people are going to slice and dice in all kinds of ways. Thank you so much, Maddie. Come back, visit me real soon, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Bye, brains.